Today, we have got a best-selling author and co-parenting expert with us to talk about the dynamic when you are both the bio mom and the stepmom. You do not want to miss this.
I'm Cameron. I spent years building my career and creating a life I loved. And when my Prince Charming finally showed up, he had four kids in tow. Fast forward through lots of mistakes made and lessons learned, step-family life was much more complicated than I realized. If you're looking for help with blended family life, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Stepmom Diaries, where we keep it real as we dish about all the things. This is your weekly dose of blended family inspiration and encouragement. You're not the wicked stepmother, so let me help you find your fairy tale ending. Come on, let's do this.
Hello, I am so excited about today's guest because as both a bio mom and a divorce coach and a stepmom, she has got a great perspective on stepfamily life. Michelle Dempsey Multak is author of the best-selling book, Moms Moving On, which I'll link to in the show notes. She likes to say that her mission in life is to help her clients ensure their children have a co-parenting experience that they won't need to recover from. And as a child of divorce who experienced a fairly terrible co-parenting dynamic, I so appreciate having her out in the world. Before we get started, can I ask you a quick favor? Would you consider going to iTunes and leaving me a rating, or even better, a review? It will take just a few seconds, and literally every single rating and review I get helps me reach more and more stepmoms just like you. So let's talk about today's guest. Michelle Dempsey Multak is a certified divorce and co-parenting specialist, a best-selling author, educator for divorce coaches, and top 1% podcaster known for her ability to inspire and empower moms through their divorce and co-parenting journeys. Michelle's passion for putting the child first in the divorce process while helping everyone she reaches feel supported and empowered makes her a sought-after coach by clients as well as divorce industry professionals from around the globe. She has helped thousands of women find the permission to move on confidently after divorce as they move towards a more intentional and holistic co-parenting experience, one that their kids can be proud of one day. And as I mentioned earlier, Michelle is the author of Moms Moving On, Real Life Advice on Conquering Divorce, Co-Parenting Through Conflict, and Becoming Your Best Self from Simon & Schuster. Michelle was also a speaker at this year's Stepmom Summit. And if you missed it, her talk was one of our most popular this year. It is not too late, though. You can still access her presentation and all the others. I'm going to put a link in the show notes, which you can find at thiscustomlife.com/episode68. So let's dive in with Michelle. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us. We are so excited to have you.
So happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And I know I mentioned in your intro that you were one of our speakers at the Stepmom Summit. And I think everyone there was so excited to hear from you. And obviously, you know, a lot of us have seen you on Instagram or read your book, and you have got such great resources for moms who have experienced divorce. And you have, I think, sort of recently, maybe it's not as recent now, become a stepmom as well. And I always love to ask what your stepmom origin story is. So how did you meet your husband and become a stepmom?
Yeah, so I've been a stepmom, like officially on paper, going about 4 years now. My husband and I are about to be married 4 years, but I met his daughter 6 years ago when we first started dating, not right away, of course, but later on in our, you know, falling in love phase. And it was like life coming full circle for me. I met her around the same age that I was when I met my stepmom, and my parents had separated. And it was like kind of this realization that everything that I had experienced was not what I wanted my future stepdaughter to experience. And it was a real like conscious pull towards doing things differently and in a more healthy way. My husband and I met not long after I separated from my daughter's father. And we met by chance. He lived in my mom's building. And, you know, we started talking slowly and sort of like having lunches, and things were ramping up. And we realized we, you know, really wanted to be together. And so when he wanted to introduce me to his daughter, I was open to it. But I said, hey, listen, guy, when my dad introduced me to his girlfriend, who I knew was my father's mistress at the time, which was like super icky, it went from 0 to 60. My mom and grandparents sat me down one day and said, like, mommy and daddy are getting a divorce. Daddy has a girlfriend. Here they are to pick you up for the weekend. And all of a sudden she was there all the time. So I was very clear that the one thing I didn't want to do was make his little girl feel threatened by our relationship. So I made myself scarce for a long time. Like, he would always invite me to do things with them. And I would say, you know what? I think I'm going to skip it today. You guys enjoy your day. I kind of waited until she started requesting my presence before I got more involved. And I think that that really helped long term to develop trust. And so that she wouldn't feel, even though she still had her natural feelings of like, oh my God, there's a new woman in my dad's life, she never felt like I was there to take her dad away from her. That was really important to me.
That's huge. And I love that you kind of took a childhood trauma and, you know, flipped the script a little bit. And I have a not dissimilar experience being a stepdaughter. And that dynamic of my family was very similar to yours. And I had similar emotions when I became a stepmom. Like, I felt like there were things that I wanted to do very differently. And I love that that kind of informs your, and especially, I mean, one of the things that is so important for kids, and I think, you know, your unique background coming into this already as a divorce coach, it was probably very natural for you, is allowing the kids to have alone time with their parent. It's huge.
It is so huge. And so what I see happening over and over and over with clients, with people in my personal life, is they'll introduce their child to a new partner, and the child really wants to please the parent. And they'll say, oh, you know, I love her or him, and I want to spend time with them. And yeah, it's cool if they hang out, but that's just them trying to please. And then what ultimately ends up happening is that backfires so hard. And all of a sudden, the child feels completely replaced. And now there was no consistency in their relationship or the alone time they spent together, because now there's somebody there all the time. And I urge people, you know, I know you want to recreate a family dynamic for yourself and for your children, but that is not essentially what your kids need to feel okay after a divorce. They need to know that they still have like a safe and secure attachment to both parents. And when there's somebody in the mix all the time, very quickly, that definitely threatens it.
And it's hard. I feel like a lot of times that ends up falling on the step parent to sort of set that boundary, because I feel like, you know, when you become a step family as a step parent, you know, your partner, like, really, at least in my case, you know, your partner really wants you to like form this family and wants you to be there and wants the kids to like you, wants you around all the time. Mm-hmm. And it sort of falls to you to be the one to say, you know what? Why don't you and Johnny go off by yourselves and have an afternoon mm-hmm. and have fun
yeah.
and to sort of maintain that space for the kids? Cause I think a lot of times our partners don't necessarily see it with the very best of intentions, but you know, right. they don't necessarily see that that can ultimately be detrimental to their relationship with their kids.
Especially between a father and a daughter. I mean, I think it goes without saying that the father-daughter relationship is critical in forming what the daughter will set as her standards for future male relationships. And when that relationship becomes threatened, it feels like rejection. And when a girl feels rejected by her dad, you know, then we go down the road of, I hate to use the term because I don't like it, but quote unquote daddy issues. And that's what we want to avoid. I can't speak to sons because I don't have one and I am not one, but I know, you know, having a daughter who has had to adjust to her father having a new partner and being a stepmom of a daughter who had to adjust to me being in her life, I know that it's that daddy-daughter attachment is so important and that alone time is so key.
It's so key. And it's really key for, I mean, the experts that I've talked with and some of whom have spoken at the summit and other places have said that really having that alone time with each member of the family is important, right? Like for your bonding with the stepchild, it's important to have some alone time. If the child is you know, ready to accept that and to take that step.
Yes.
And then having that alone time with the parent is really helpful. And then you can kind of come together and also do some family stuff. But
yes,
really,
and to
tempting.
That point, I want to say that something that my husband and I did that I think was really wise, you know, it was all trial and error for us at some point. But
of course,
people would say like, oh, do you have the girls on the same schedule? Because we both have 50-50 and we both have daughters. And the first year we did not on purpose, because I wanted the time to bond with his child. And I wanted him to have the time to bond with mine before they felt like they were competing for attention. They're two different ages. There's a big age gap. And the bonding with his daughter was going to look very different than his was going to look with mine, because mine was really still a baby. And so that was really important to me. And again, you know, I asked people to think about, do you really need to recreate a family dynamic like on paper? Or do you want to naturally develop these bonds, you know, which don't happen overnight? You have to give it time to flourish and water this garden a little bit. So, I mean, that's a piece of advice that I would definitely hang my hat on.
Well, and I love the idea of challenging this assumption that so many of us make when we become a step family, which is recreating the first family dynamic, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're in a step family. It's not a first family. There are different mm-hmm. dynamics and different situations that come up, and they're all unique. There it's not, and but somehow all of us try to sort of force it into the, you know, square peg round hole of being a first family. And how I guess have you, when you work with clients, you know, how do you sort of work with them on mindset around that? Because I think that is, it kind of falls into this sort of expectations versus reality, you know, mm-hmm. situation that a lot of step parents find themselves in, where they thought they were going to get this, you know, first family like experience. And then they get into it and they're like, holy cow, this is not what I thought it was going to be. When in reality, if you adjust it, you can, you know, realize that your family can be just as special. It's just different.
Right. And it's funny you say that, expectations versus reality, because in my program where I train coaches, a big part of our training is helping a client modify their expectations. Because, you know, what adults tend to forget is that for the child, the only change in the family dynamic is that the parents live in two separate homes. Like, they're not worried about, you know, the Christmas card and like the changing of the last name for the adult. Like, we still have to respect that there is a family dynamic at play. It just looks different. And so trying to like erase the one family dynamic that, you know, was affected by divorce and bring in another one is not going to go over well with the kids. If you try to replicate something, you have to accept that it's going to be its own thing. It's going to look different, and it should, and you have to let it bloom into whatever it needs to bloom into. Because if you're trying to fit it into one box, I mean, this is why the statistics on divorce for second marriages are so much higher than first, because we've got other factors at play, like ex-spouses and stepkids. And there's, you know, a lot of challenges that come up with that. So if you're not letting it naturally, organically become what it needs to be, and you're just deciding it needs to look like this one thing I used to have before, you're kind of setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Well, you mentioned your program. Tell me a little bit about, I mean, you have been a divorce coach for a while. You have written a great book, aimed at moms who are divorced, who are trying to sort of, you know, move on. Moms Moving On is the name. For anyone who wants to go to Amazon, we'll put a link in the show notes. Tell us a little bit about how you became a divorce coach and, you know, why it was important for you to help other moms going through that experience.
Yeah. So I love this question, because I think it's the same answer any divorce coach would give. I went through my divorce when I was 33. My daughter was 2. There was nobody really talking about divorce on social media yet. I was a mommy blogger at the time, writing for different publications like Scary Mommy and Parents. And I was writing about, you know, being a mom and marriage and all that type of stuff. And they were really kind in that they let me shift the nature of my content to what I was experiencing, which was, you know, adjusting to single motherhood and adjusting to co-parenting a toddler and all these difficult things. And there was nothing out there that I felt spoke to me. Everything I found about divorce spoke about, you know, empty nesters and gray divorce and women in a different age bracket. So I started to create the content that I felt I needed to share. It was therapeutic for me. And then as soon as people started responding, like, oh my God, I can't believe you're talking about this. This is amazing. And then my following started to grow. I realized there was a bigger need. And I had this unique experience of, you know, having been co-parented and also having an education background, kind of blending the two and then getting certified to work with parents at first, just moms as a coach and then a certified divorce specialist and then a certified co-parenting specialist. So that all kind of it was like a snowball effect. People wanted a podcast. I started the podcast. People wanted to hire me. I got certified. People wanted a book. I wrote that. And now I felt after years of working with both clients and divorce industry professionals, what was really missing was this co-parenting education for both coaches. And, I also coach lawyers, mediators, and mental health professionals on how to keep the children healthy in divorce. So I developed the Moving On Method program, and we train and certify divorce and co-parenting coaches. And we also have a co-parenting mastery program for people who just want to learn how to do co-parenting better.
That's amazing. And it's so needed, especially the co-parenting. And, you know, I know you've seen probably so many cases with clients you've worked with, you know, it's really difficult. And especially when the new spouse comes in, it's really, you know, and obviously, you know, I work with women from the new spouse's perspective, but it's really hard for everybody to adjust to that new dynamic. Right. And it doesn't always go well.
And like, we don't realize how much, you know, if you're co-parenting well with your child's parents and everything's fine, and then one of you is in a new relationship, that's going to throw off the dynamic too. And that in itself takes a lot of, you're going to need a lot of support for that so that you can, not that it's your job to keep your ex happy, but so that you can kind of keep things calm and reasonable and be the reasonable parent while, you know, things get a little messy for a bit, because it will. I mean, that's just what happens.
Yeah, totally. So with all of your experience going through your divorce and becoming a coach and writing a book and everything, when you became a stepmom, what was the biggest surprise?
The biggest surprise. I think, not that it was a surprise, but every day I'm like in awe of my relationship with my stepdaughter. I absolutely love and adore her. Okay. How much you can love a child that isn't yours. Like, you know, right now she's traveling for the summer. She's on a teen tour, in another continent. And like the ache, you know, for the fact that she's not here every day after school or after camp. And it's just amazing that also the effort and the work that you put into blending a family, if you do it right, really, really, really pays off. I have an amazing relationship with my stepdaughter's mom that developed over time. All because I was committed to doing things right with my stepdaughter's needs top of mind, you know, and that developed trust all around. So, you know, it really is true. Like, hard work pays off, and you can absolutely love a child, a stepchild, as much as, you know, you would a natural child. It's just a different kind of love, and it's a really special one.
Yeah, I love that. I love that so much. And for those of you listening, and you can't see Michelle, we're on video with each other, and she got a little teary, and I feel a little teary because I've got four stepkids, and one of my stepdaughters just graduated high school, and she and I are particularly close, and she's about to go off to college, and I have that same feeling, Michelle. It's going to be just gutting, and it's amazing to feel so attached.
We're 2 years away from that, and I'm like,
you know, it's hard.
My daughter, who's 8 and a half now, we were actually pulling out of our driveway this morning, and she's like, God, so weird with Jolie not here. I really don't like it. And she's coming back in a week. And I'm thinking, God, in 2 years, like, she'll be in college. She's not coming back, you know, after 3 or 4 weeks away.
Yeah, it's a huge transition. In fact, my husband and I were talking about it last night, that it's going to be, you know, a shift in our relationship, because for the past, you know, 6 months, it's been all about, you know, where she's going to go to school and getting the dorm and, you know, getting ready for rush and getting the clothes and getting the, you know, dorm stuff. And, you know, then she's just going to be gone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is a huge, huge transition. So, yeah. But you've got to get through the teen years first, I guess.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, which is always fun. Well, how do you think has being a stepmom changed the way that you work with your clients or the way that you coach? And if so, how?
Well, I mean, it helps a lot with, you know, when I have a client who is adjusting to the fact that there is a new partner in her ex's life and, you know, all of the stress that that's bringing up for her about someone new being around the children, I can give her the perspective on both angles because I've been in that position and I have been the new person, you know? So it's good to have that perspective, you know, and listen, I empathize with those feelings of like, I don't want this bitch around my kids, but like, I am that bitch around the new, you know, so like,
yeah.
I get it. And it's helpful to offer a different perspective. And also, you know, what I think a lot of women don't realize is when, you know, we're women, when we're with a man in a marriage or a relationship, we tend to run the show a little bit and we want to impress and make that person be wowed and in love with us. Right. So when there is a new woman in your ex-husband's life, let's say, she's working really hard to impress him by caring about your children and is also, you know, trying to establish her own standards in this relationship. And maybe it seems like she's running the show a little bit because that's just what us women like to do. And so by offering the perspective of like, hey, look, she's not here to take your place, but she is in a new relationship with somebody and wants to impress. And listen, if that means that she's taking care of your children and buying them things and being kind, okay, maybe it hurts your ego, but it's amazing for your children because the alternative, you know, a wicked stepmother who's nasty to them would be far worse for everybody. So, you know, it's helpful to be able to offer that perspective.
Well, and I love the, you know, kind of looking at it through an empathy lens where you can kind of say, okay, you know, there is this new woman and maybe that is a little, you know, uncomfortable
or
hits the ego and it stings.
Yes.
But if you can put that aside and look at it through the kids' eyes and what they're gaining, and also maybe a little bit through the new woman's eyes and say, you know, look, she is trying. She's trying really hard and she's going to make mistakes just like we all make mistakes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, great that my ex-partner has ended up with someone who wants to try. You know, I love that sort of, yeah.
Yeah. And you also have to take into consideration, does this person, potential new step-parent, do they come from a divorce? Do they have children of their own? If the answer is no on both of those, then they don't know what it's like to be in your shoes. So you got to give them a little grace, you know, like mm-hmm. nobody feels good about it right off the bat, not even me. And I'm incredibly self-aware and understanding of what it's like to be a stepmom. We're human. Our mama bear claws come out sometimes, but listen, it's for the best long-term. Truthfully, if your ex is happy and not bothering you, then like, what a better gift than that, right?
I know, right? Yeah, the grace is just, that's a huge point. I mean, I think that so often in these co-parenting environments, you know, the co-parents and the new partners get so caught up in whatever's going on and the crazy that it's hard to take a step back and say, you know what? Everybody's trying. Nobody's trying. Nobody sets out to be an asshole. Like everybody's trying their best. And, you know, how can we just look at this a little bit differently? You know?
Yeah. And the other thing I tell people, if they feel that the new partner is like nasty to them or giving them an attitude, I'm like, well, think about what they know about you. They only know the negative from your ex, right? Your ex is feeding them, you know, all these things about why the relationship ended and my ex is such a this and such a that. And that's okay that that's his perspective of you, because if it weren't, you'd probably still be together. So you have to show that person that that's not the whole picture of you. Maybe at your worst, you were those things in your marriage to the person they're now dating, but let them see that like you're a whole ass woman outside
right.
of just the bad times. And they'll believe more in what they see and how they're treated by you than what, you know, their ex is saying. Everyone says their ex is crazy.
What do you think about, I know we get a lot of stepmoms who are like, well, you know, should I seek to have a relationship with mom and contact with her outside of my partner? Like, should I be involved in this? And I
don't
know, I have my opinions. I'm curious what you think.
Yeah. I don't think that you need to, and I made this mistake. I wanted to go from 0 to 60 and be like besties with my husband's ex-wife. And I know that was like a little uncomfortable for her, but we started slow. And I do think that there needs to be an olive branch extended, and it needs to be extended from the step parent to the bio mom. Very simply, hey, I know this is awkward for both of us. I'm in so-and-so's life now, and I'm going to be spending time around your children. I just want you to know you are mom. You are number one. I'm very cognizant of that. And if there's anything I can do to support that, let me know. That mm-hmm. goes such a long way. And if you, for some reason, think that that person doesn't deserve the text, well, then good luck to you, because you are really missing the point. A mom is allowed to feel threatened and is naturally going to feel threatened and defensive, and you have to hold space for that.
Yeah, I love that advice. I think that's fantastic, fantastic advice. So a lot of the women that are listening, and a lot of the women that we work with as stepmom coaches, one of the most common things they're dealing with is that their partner and their ex have a really high conflict co-parenting mm-hmm. relationship. And sometimes it's that mom is high conflict. Sometimes it's that they just push each other's buttons and they can't quit it. You know, what is your best piece of advice for dealing with that from a stepmom's perspective?
I have two pieces of advice. One is the regular entry level piece of advice that I give, which is deal with it. If you want to be with this person, you have to accept that there was somebody before you, that their relationship is going through a different phase now, and it may be rocky for a while. And if you can't get on board and you think you can control it, again, good luck to you. The second piece, the more highly evolved work that I have clients do, is understand that if their relationship is bad, it's going to bleed off onto the kids. If it's bleeding off onto the kids are going to resent you. So what can you do? Control what you can control, which is speaking to your partner about, hey, listen, maybe let this one go. Help them pick their battles, because you're not winning if you're sicking your partner on their ex-wife. It only makes things worse. Not a lot of people can do that, but that is ultimately the way. And, you know, there's been plenty of times in my own marriage where, you know, my husband will say, oh, can you believe blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, sorry, dude, not going to be on your side for this one, because I too am a mom. So, and I talk him off the ledge. And, yeah. And that's, I think, what a good stepmom would do, is try and not instigate the conflict and find a way to talk some sense into your man or woman.
Yeah. I mean, you really do have to pick your battles, you know, and the control piece is huge. And I talk to a lot of stepmoms about that especially when there is a high conflict and maybe stuff is being said about you that's not true, or, you know, hateful stuff, or that, you know, just kids are getting poisoned or whatever, however it's happening, that you can't control any of that. And you have to figure out how you're going to deal with it, because that's all you can control is you. And you can influence your partner, but you can't control what they're going to do. You know,
no, you're never going to be able to control the ex-spouse. And if that's your game plan for success in your relationship, then
good luck.
Again, go back to modifying your expectations.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. This is so great. Such good advice, Michelle. Tell everybody where they can find you and, you know, access all of your good things, and then we'll put links in the show notes.
Sure. So I'm on Instagram at the Michelle Dempsey. My podcast is Moms Moving On. It streams everywhere podcasts stream. My book is Moms Moving On, sold everywhere books are sold. It's on Kindle and Audible as well. My website is michelledempsey.com, and that's where you can find information about either being coached by myself or one of my coaches, or being trained as a Moving On Method certified coach to work with divorce and co-parents. So we've got lots of stuff going on. All you got to do is just Google me and it'll all come up. I'd love to help.
I love that. It's great. And if you missed the Stepmom Summit, Michelle was one of our speakers and it was a fantastic talk, and you can go to thestepmomsummit.com and access a permanent or forever copy of the summit from there. So we'll put links in all the show notes. And Michelle, thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Thank you. This was great.
That's it for this week. If you've enjoyed our chat, I hope you'll help spread the word. Share this episode with friends and head on over to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave me a review. And don't forget, for more great stepmom content, head on over to thiscustomlife.com and follow me on social media. Just search This Custom Life on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest. Until next time, you keep being you and know that we are in this together. See you here next week.